Would you hear these words? Would you prepare your heart to receive God's love and to love him back? From Romans chapter 8. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you again today for the assurance of your love for us. No matter what this past week brought our way, no matter which ways we feel that we have failed you or forgotten about you or tried to be God of our own lives, you're here again this morning reminding us that through Jesus Christ, none of those mistakes, none of those failures can keep us from your love for us. And so we've come to this place to lift our voices and to hear your word and to eat at your table, to receive your love and to share your love once again. Might that happen right here and right now? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17, we are continuing in the different names of God. This week, we meet God who is El Shaddai, God Almighty. Those of you who were walking with God back in the 80s, can you hear El Shaddai and not think Amy Grant right off the bat? Just a few of you? Yeah, me too. Good song. All right, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. El Shaddai, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations." And then skipping over to verse 15, God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight." God said, "No, but your wife Sarah shall bear a son, and you shall name him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." And then over in chapter 18, verse 11, once Sarah overhears that she's going to be a mom. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced and aged. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?'" Would you pray with me? Almighty God, as we turn to your word, we do so with some mountains in our lives that seem much too tall to climb. And yet we're here in this place because we believe that the story does not end with us and our abilities and our strength and our wisdom. You, O God, are creator of all, sustainer of all, healer of all, and mover of mountains. El Shaddai, Almighty God, as we let your word become the word for us, would you move in power in our lives, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might free us to do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had to disassemble a dream? My childhood dream, I think I've told you before, was to be the first Olympic gold medalist in three different sports: soccer, basketball, and track. It seemed fairly realistic. I was the leading scorer on the Bumblebees, after all. And at recess, I felt faster than some of the other kids. And in my driveway, I could hit the winning shot of the basketball game that was happening in my head every single time. Fifth grade rolled around and I kind of got tired of soccer, so I quit. By seventh grade, I didn't make the track team. Turned out there was other kids faster than me. And by eighth grade, I never put on a basketball jersey again. I reworked that dream, disassembled year by year. I grew up watching Home Improvement, as most 90 kids did. And I had a dream. I was going to live the life of Jill Taylor. This home in suburbia, happily married with three sons. And the middle son was going to be just as cute as Randy Taylor. Well, I graduated college eventually, and you were supposed to meet your husband there, they said, and I didn't. And then I did this life overseas, and that kind of made me lose my interest in suburbia. It just seemed a little too predictable. And then seminary came, and it went, and with that, so did my 20s. And here I am, age 36, and three kids seems a little far-fetched, not even really wanted. You know, Jill Taylor can have her life, and I'll enjoy mine, for better or worse, another disassembled dream. I wonder, what's yours? For them, it was a crib. God had come to Abram before, and he had told him to leave everything and to follow him, and he was going to be the father of many nations. It was an offer that they couldn't pass up because they had wanted a child and they had wanted a future for so long. And they had all but given up hope of either. And then God showed up. And he said, "Not just one baby, Abram, but lots of babies are coming your way." And you know, I can imagine after that first encounter with God in Genesis 12, Abram went home and he cut down a tree and he spent weeks assembling the crib. The baby was coming. God said so. From Genesis 12 to where we find them today, Abram and Sarai, they pretty much did their part. They left everything when God said to. They trusted God. And then once they left originally from Haran, they just kept moving. And then they would settle somewhere. Then they would pack up when God said so. And they would settle somewhere else. And then they would pack up and move again. And can't you just see him? Old Abram disassembling that crib each time, taking it to the next place, finding its little place in the room, and putting it back together again and again. By Genesis 17, it's been 24 years since they've heard from God. Abram is now 99, Sarai is 89. And you have to know, at some point along the way, they had stopped reassembling that crib. Their dream was real once upon a time. But it just didn't pan out as they thought it would. And you know, such is life. For them, it was a crib. For us, it might be a job that our hearts once got so excited about, we never got the offer. Might be a relationship that we dreamed of growing old together, and it's all but lifeless now. It might be a relationship dreamed of that never even came to us at all. I've got a friend in here. We've been praying together for 2 years for a loved one who's been put through it by the justice system, and things didn't go as they were supposed to go this week. Dreams of justice on hold. It could be a dream for a child to have one or to see the one you have be well. And year after year, no change. That dream gets disassembled. And for a while, we keep reassembling it until finally we just leave the pieces in a box in the closet somewhere. And we just say things just haven't panned out as we thought they would. Such is life. There was real excitement when Abram and Sarai first had that glimpse of God's incredible plans for them. But over time, 24 years, it dwindled. But before just tossing that dream out altogether, Sarai had this idea to make it a little bit more attainable, more realistic. You remember her proposal from a few weeks ago, right? We talked about it right in here. She tames down this dream from God by suggesting to Abram that he go ahead and sleep with her younger, more fertile servant girl. Now, this was common practice back then for sure. But while some things culturally have definitely changed over time, thousands of years later, I can tell you there are some things that have stayed just the same. One of those things, wives don't really much like or dream about sharing their husbands with younger, more fertile servant girls. That hasn't changed. So when Sarai tells Abram, hey, I've got this dream that God has given to me, you know it wasn't her original dream at all. It had been whittled down. Over a decade of boxing up that crib, she has learned to settle for lesser dreams, more realistic dreams, good enough to get by dreams. I wonder this morning, what are your biggest dreams these days? Not like to win the lottery, much deeper than that. What are the ones that are only in you because God put them there? That's the dreams we're talking about. And I wonder, have you been tempted yet to scale them back and tame them down and make them a little bit more realistic? Because surely God can't quite do that. You see, it's into this very context that a crib in a dusty box shoved in a basement, a dream disassembled, that God reappears after 24 years of silence with something he is ready to do. And the very first thing that God speaks after 24 years of silence is a brand new name for himself. His first word to Abram, who's been waiting, can I tell you again, for 24 years. He says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Now, there are several things that this term could mean in Hebrew. There's not like a direct translation, but all of them point to this idea of God's power over all. That's where we get the translation, Almighty. But more specifically, one of the many meanings of Shaddai that I really like is mountains. I am El Shaddai, Abram, God of the mountains. I love that. I was just in the mountains on Friday, and I got off the trail a little bit. Somehow I always seem to do that. And my friend and I were taking these steps, and we were sinking up to our waist at times. And we were like, we might die out here, and they won't find us until summer. We were about devoured by these things called mountains, but my friends, not El Shaddai. He is the God of those suckers. Powerful overall. And with this brand new orientation to who God is, God then has a name to tell Abram who Abram really is. He says, and you are Abraham, father of many nations. And Abraham falls on his face, overwhelmed by this reassurance that he hasn't gone crazy in 24 years, overwhelmed by the presence and the promise of God, but he still is assuming that God intends to make this promise happen through Ishmael, Hagar's son. Even still, in the presence of the living God, the dream is tamed down to something probable, something realistic. Back to the question, what is your biggest dream these days? Not just any dream, but your biggest dream that has to do with God's heart and God's kingdom coming in some way right here, right now. And my friends, I hope that you're not drawing a blank. Oh, my heart grieves to think you might be, because if we cannot think of at least one dream from God, for God, that your heart wrestles with often, then what are we giving our hearts to? And what are we doing with this one sacred life we have to live? Oh, I hope you know what your biggest dream is. So what is it? And I ask you this, is it something that you can do without God, if you're being honest? Something realistic, manageable, might take some work, might take some sacrifice, but if you really want it to, really put your mind to it, you could make that dream happen. Careful. Careful that it hasn't become some whittled down version of the original dream God stirred up in your heart once upon a time. Careful. Because you see, throughout all of Scripture, God's greatest blessings cannot ever be earned or achieved on our own. They are absolutely impossible unless God Almighty shows up and says otherwise. So God goes on with his promise. He says, Abraham, not just a bunch of random people, but kings will come from you, Abraham. Kings. And this promise I'm giving you today, Abraham, it's never going to end. And this land you're standing on as a stranger, it's going to be your land, Abraham. I've got blessings upon blessings for you and your ancestors. Did I mention, Abraham, they're going to be innumerable, more than the stars in the sky. Abraham, just do this. Just keep your end of the covenant. And then God goes on to say what that's a bit more about. Not so exciting for Abraham. But when God gets to Sarai, what does he do but change her name too? He says, and for your wife, her name is Sarah. I will bless her, and I will give you a son by her, Abraham. Those kings, those nations, they will come from her. And Abraham is on his face again, but this time it's less in awe. And instead, he is sitting there in the presence of God, laughing uncontrollably. Because why wouldn't he be? He's 99 years old, and she's 89. You know, when they first got that promise 24 years ago, it seemed improbable, but worth dreaming about, at least. Now he's pushing 100. Pull out that crib, Abraham. Assemble it one more time, because she's gonna have a baby. And Abraham can't not laugh. I remember being a kid in church, and there was this older gentleman who was in the choir. It's one of those churches where the choir sat behind you the whole time, you know, super awkward for everyone. And he would nod off every single Sunday. And not just in the sermon, like anytime he wasn't singing, he was asleep. And there was this one Sunday where there was special music, and there's this lady with this really high-pitched voice singing a solo, and our little friend sound asleep. And right about the time she hit the highest note, he lets out this huge yawn, this exactly in sync with the note that she's singing. It looked exactly like the old man who was asleep was singing this note. And my sister and I were terrible and looked at each other at the exact same time. We both saw it, and we just lost it. And it was one of those things where when you just get cracked up, you know, and you can't not laugh, well, special music leads right into prayer, right into sermon, and she and I are dying. I mean, tears down our face, trying to hold it in, which never works. You get that cracking laugh, that, you know that one? You been there? Yeah. Eventually, my mom just took us out and we went to lunch. It was over. Everything was over. And you have to know that that is Abraham right here in the presence of God. In the presence of God, you should be on your best behavior, right? But he has just heard the most preposterous thing ever. Trying to imagine Sarah conceiving and her 90-year-old body pregnant and their 100-year-old selves chasing a kid around. And he's not wanting to be disrespectful to the living God, but he's just shocked at the absurdity of it all. And you've got to know he was awkward laughing, trying to hold it in, and then that would just make him laugh more and more. You see, God's got a way of doing things that sound totally unrealistic, preposterous, even. And so we might suggest that Abraham just write this encounter off so his heart won't be broken again 25 years from now when Sarah's still barren. Because odds are she would be 89 years old. And he could have done that. But we remember, he remembers, it's not just anyone stirring up this kind of dream in him. It's El Shaddai, God Almighty. God Almighty, who can do whatever he wants and can name us whatever he wants to name us. And can decide to use time however he wants to use time. And he can write reality however he wants to write reality. Dare Abraham look in the face of the God who created reality and say, now, God, that promise sounds unrealistic. Does that make any sense? But don't we do it all the time? Dare we tell the creator of reality what's realistic and what's not? Dare we? And if God is God Almighty, El Shaddai, powerful over all, And yet some of our dreams for how his kingdom still needs to come, how our spirit still groan for him to make things right. If those yearnings deep within us feel far from accomplished, my friends, hear me today. That is no reason to despair. Because despair only indicates that we believe that either God doesn't know, or God doesn't care, or God can't do a thing about whatever dream we've stashed away. And we know that none of those things are true of El Shaddai, Almighty God. He knows. And all the things that aren't right yet, he knows. And he cares more than we ever could about making the world right. He cares. And he can change everything in the blink of an eye. He can. And so if the dream that he put in you hasn't moved forward in 24 years, that is not reason to despair. Instead, it's an invitation to hope. Because all that says is that Almighty God isn't done with you yet. He's working on your behalf still. Did you know that until that day that Abraham died, some of those promises that God gave him had just barely started to bud? The dreams, they weren't done. Not when he took his last breath. They were still being worked out. And my friends, for Abram, that was God's kindness, because God didn't want to be done with him. God didn't want to be done dreaming with him. God didn't want to be done dreaming through him yet. God still wanted that intimate connection that comes through a shared dream that's not quite there yet. And so long as God still got some unfinished dreams stirring in you, good news, my friends. He's just really enjoying working with you. How cool is that? It's not that he can't. It's not that he doesn't care. He can, and he does care. He's just not done working with you yet. It's when you lose touch with any of God's dreams at all that we should get a little bit worried. He's not done with us anymore. But if we can't stir up one dream that's from him that we wrestle with, maybe we've decided that we're more or less done with him. But unfulfilled dreams that you truly sense God gave you, rejoice, because it means he's not done with you yet. And that truth alone means that we have got to be the most hopeful people in this community and in this world. And if we're not the most hopeful people that anybody ever saw, then we've got to get to know El Shaddai. He is the God of the mountains. Because every second he keeps this broken earth spinning. And every time he reminds us of a neglected dream that is still in us, what he's doing is declaring, I am not done yet. I still have good work to do, and that is its own kind of good news. Unfulfilled dreams from God, a gift of his grace, saying, I'm not done yet. So back to the question, what's the biggest dream that God has given you? What's that dream in your heart that leads to life and freedom and love and justice and peace for you, for others? And how are you doing on holding out hope that God may still be working on it? Do you believe that God could fulfill that dream as soon as today? Do you believe that? This week? This year? Do we believe that? Wait. Shh. hear that? There's a few of you that are saying, it's just not realistic. Not the dream God put in my heart. It's unlikely to become anything. Are we talking about a dream put in your heart by the same God who stepped down from heaven and took on flesh and lived among us? God with skin on. What's realistic about that? Are we talking about a dream from the same God who breathed in you and walked this earth in this way of love and service and let himself be killed unjustly? Realistic? A God that would maneuver like that? Are we talking about a dream in you from the same God who rose from the dead and walked on this earth for 40 more days showing off his wounds and then ascended into heaven before our very eyes? Realistic? Says who? Is that dream in you that you say is just too far-fetched? Is it from the same God who sent his spirit to 5,000 people at Pentecost and started these gatherings 2,000 years ago of his followers meeting every week amidst busy lives to tell God stories and eat God bread and actually give their lives to God work? Realistic? How so? If you are quick to write off that dream from God that once brought you excitement and lately has been disassembled and boxed up and labeled in big black Sharpie marker unrealistic, you might be telling God Almighty what he can and can't do. And that's just silly. Laughable. You know, when Sarah hears for the first time that she's going to be a mom, she laughs too. And God asked that question, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? To my friends who've settled for whittled down dreams, succumbed to soul-sucking jobs, given up on intimacy in your marriage, decided that your heart will just always be broken, and your grief will just always be too much, and your life will just always be getting by, just paying bills and surviving until the weekend. What if God came to you today and said, my dream that has been in you, it's time. It's time. Time for everything to change today. What would you say? Preposterous? Unrealistic? Why not? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Anything? El Shaddai, God of the mountains, can't do. You know what I love? God doesn't judge Abraham or Sarah when they laugh at his promise. He actually gets in on the joke. He tells Abraham, laugh all you want. How about you just name that kid Isaac? Which means laughter, literally. So imagine this, every time they call that boy's name for the rest of their life, laughter, dinner's ready. Laughter, would you pick up your shoes already? Every time they yelled out laughter, they had to chuckle again just like you are. It's funny. God is funny. And each time they would laugh and yell out laughter, they would have to say to themselves, is anything too wonderful for God? Oh, this is our story, you guys. This is our story. Oh, my heart wants you to get it. Our invitation today, find that dusty box in your heart, wherever it is, and whatever is stashed away in it, whatever dream it holds, wipe it off and assemble that crib once again. because you are the children of El Shaddai. And El Shaddai's people are known for hope. And they shine in this world by that smile on their face that looks at everything that's unfulfilled and rather than walk in despair says, he must just not be done yet. Wow, he's still working on us. How great. The God of the mountains. His people dare to dream because they know that there is nothing that is too wonderful for our Lord. There is no such thing as unrealistic when you're talking to the God who created reality. Amen. Is this your God? Are we those kind of people? Pull out those boxes. Hopeful dreamers. That's El Shaddai's people. Let's be those people. Would you pray with me? God Almighty, God of the mountains, God of me, God of my brothers and sisters. Oh, stir up once again your dreams deep inside of us. Those dreams that are so much bigger than us. Those dreams that resonate with your heart that is for justice and love and peace and compassion in this world. Father, for the ways we've tamed it down and settled for less, forgetting that you're El Shaddai, forgive us. And as we come to your table, restore to us the joy and the courage and the hope of our salvation. And send us out to share that hope far and wide. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.